Welcome to the Safety Pro Roundtable. Every week on this show, you will hear from safety professionals around the industry as we talk about challenges, innovations, and stories that will help you lead a better safety program. This is the Safety Pro Roundtable.
Hi, this is Stacy. Welcome back to the Safety Storytellers Podcast. I have the honor of talking to Mike Rice with Drop Safety. And I think it's so cool, and I think you'll really love this story, because sometimes we just wonder, like, how does a manufacturing company get started? What does that process look like? So he gives us a really, really cool insight into how this company started, where they came from, and where they are today. You're gonna love this story. Welcome back to the Safety Storytellers Podcast. I'm here with Mike Rice with DropSafe. We just had a really fun conversation. I think that learning how companies start is so interesting, because people just see a company and they're like, okay, you've always been that way. But there's like this progression, and sometimes it's a really interesting progression. So tell me about DropSafe, and tell me the story that you told me a few minutes ago.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of companies that start off in safety are often from personal stories, right? Mm-hmm. So it's quite often someone's out on site, they get hurt, it mm-hmm. gives them some inspiration to find a safety solution, and then they go and they develop that product, and the business builds off that. DropSafe was slightly different. So the founder of the company is an entrepreneur. He was a marine engineer, or is a marine engineer. He's still with us. So yeah, I shouldn't, in case he sees this, I don't want to be talking in the past tense about him. Right. But so marine engineer, he actually ended up in Hong Kong, came up with an idea to design this stainless steel net that was primarily used for travel security. So the idea was that if you were backpacking around the world, yeah. And you wanted to protect your belongings, you could put your backpack, your rucksack inside this stainless steel net,
okay.
And then padlock it to your bunk bed or stop someone slashing into your bag,
right.
And stealing your belongings. So that business is still running today, pretty successful travel security company.
Nice.
But about 15 years ago, there was an oil rig operating in the South China Sea. They had a light fixture that had been hit by a crane boom. The light fixture was hanging off by the electrical cables. And one of the safety managers on the vessel actually had a pack safe net in his quarters.
So that was around his backpack.
It was around his backpack.
Okay.
And he just decided to get his maintenance guys to go and string this net up around the light fixture and hold it in place until they could get out there and properly remove the light fixture.
Okay.
So, you know, pretty quirky sort of application.
Yes.
For this.
Yes.
So
it fit around the light fixture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they fit it around, and then they used a cable to sort of string it up to the structure.
Okay.
Because the light fixture was just hanging off there by an electrical cable.
Oh, my God.
Which obviously isn't a safety
yes.
product. Yeah.
Yes.
So they then started to buy nets off PackSafe, and they.
How did the entrepreneur? What's his name?
Rob.
Rob, what did he think about that?
He was petrified, right? Because oil and gas is probably the most litigious industry in the world.
Yeah.
And so he was panicking that these guys were. He found out what they were using the nets for. Realized this was completely inappropriate, not fit for purpose. So he sort of stepped out of the PackSafe business for a year and redesigned the nets. Went through all the testing protocols, and because he was a marine engineer, he had a pretty good idea of the environment that they needed to be able to survive.
Okay.
So he redesigned the nets and made them fit for purpose and got all the testing certs in place. And that's where DropSafe came from.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
So how did it start with just nets?
Yeah, it started with nets. I mean, I guess, you know, like every successful company, you know, there's a lot of luck involved. It's not just a great design or great business mind. You got to be in the right place at the right time. And at that time in the North Sea, which is a big drilling location, the major operators like Shell and BP and Statoil at the time, they were all coming together because dropped objects were a major issue in offshore oil and gas.
Okay.
And they came together, they formed a steering committee that could develop best practice for preventing dropped objects.
Okay.
And we just happened to be there at the time. Oh, anything at height.
Okay.
So literally, you know, light fixtures.
Okay.
So linear lights or floodlights.
Okay.
Beacons, okay. Strobes, CCTV cameras.
Okay.
And what happens, like, when you build a rig, Of course, everything's brand new and everything's properly secured.
Yes.
But once it gets into an offshore environment, you've got corrosion, you've got vibration.
Yes.
You've got just degradation in your base materials.
Yep.
You've got a very dynamic environment with cranes operating and big bits of heavy equipment moving around. And stuff can drop, or fixtures can drop because of those, you know, corrosion, vibration, or impact from other equipment. And, you know, when I think the main inspiration behind the oil and gas industry looking at it so closely was that if a light fixture fell and caused a high potential incident or, I don't think any fatalities, but the rig could be shut down.
Right.
And those rigs at that time were going out for $250,000 day rate. So if a rig shut down for 2 or 3 days because of an investigation, then there's a huge amount of losses on the day rate.
Wow.
So that was all the inspiration behind the industry coming together. Yeah. You know, a lot of the time money drives things. So
it does.
It was really...
Especially gets those people at the very top of the industry, or the top of the organization, now looking at things when it starts affecting dollars.
Yeah. So we often talk about that at DropSafe, where it's like there's a fourfold threat to, and the reasons behind preventing drops. It's a risk to personnel,
right,
which is obviously critical.
Right.
The risk of damaging equipment. It's financial risks, and then it's also corporate reputational damage.
Absolutely.
And so that's why preventing drops, or drops as we call it, or dropped objects, is so important. And what we've noticed in the last sort of 5 years is that attention to preventing drops from the offshore industry, probably 10 years ago, it started to migrate into land drilling. And so now there's some huge standards around preventing drops in land drilling.
Yes.
And in this last 5 years, we've definitely seen a big move to power gen, chemical plants, refineries, mining. Lots of different industries are really starting to pay attention to preventing drops. So
it's the vibration that makes total...
Vibration. Sometimes just... poor maintenance, corrosion of different bits. And there's other areas now where drops is becoming more important, or equally as important, like tool tethering is a big sort of challenge. Sometimes that's, you know, that's inadequate sort of solutions in the market, or it might just be human error. Or just trying to get people to adopt safety standards that help sort of prevent drops.
So what's your largest net?
Oh, the largest.
Do you call
net.
Them a net?
Yeah, nets.
Nets?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a steel net, and it just surrounds this an object, and it secures. Okay, what's the largest one that you have? What will it secure?
Oh, it'll go up to sort of 120-pound light fixture.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the smallest?
Oh, that'll go all the way down to things like pipe clamps. So a lot of offshore rigs will have these tiny little pipe clamps that hold piping in place, and you'll often find with sort of shock and vibration in the pipes that the nuts and bolts will start to back out.
Okay.
And then you've got like a 2-pound mounting plate on the front, and once the two nuts have sort of corroded off, then that plate can drop. So we have nets as small as can go around pipe clamps as well. So about 100-120 different sizes in the product range.
God.
So
So Rob is just this guy that just saw an opportunity. Well, it wasn't an opportunity, so I suppose somebody made it an opportunity, because they were like, I'm going to take this net around my backpack.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it over this light.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't think so. That's not how this works. And so he then created a solution.
Yeah.
That's
correct.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really interesting. So what's Rob doing these days? Is he making new things?
Yeah, sort of. This week at the moment, he's in Sardinia having a great holiday.
Good.
Sitting on a nice boat.
Good.
Enjoying himself. He's worked worked very hard for the last 25 years.
Nice.
So so he's still involved in the business. He's just stepping back a little bit.
That's a good
taking
thing.
A break. Yeah, you have to do that, right?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that story.
My
that was
pleasure.
Beautiful.
Thank you for joining us on the Safety Pro Roundtable. This podcast is brought to you by Sospis, bringing you the best EH software in the industry. If you're ready to learn more about how an EHS software can transform your safety program, your profits, and your entire company, head to www.sospis.com/podcast. That is www.sospes.com/podcast. We'll see you next time on the Safety Pro Roundtable.